Revelation tonight, and we're going to study that. And I'll put a very basic timeline. What's lacking up here is a view of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and all the things that we'll be speaking of tonight, and we'll be going through these things. The Great Tribulation is called a time of Jacob's trouble. We've considered two things already in this series that we'll see. We've seen the rapture of the church, of all that are saved, and we've seen the coming onto the scene of the man who's known as the Antichrist. And then we find this time of Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 30, don't turn there, but the Bible portrays Jacob or the nation of Israel like a man who is ready or about to give birth in great agony and great pain. And the Bible says there are no days to be compared with these days of tribulation that Israel must endure. But it does tell us that from this tribulation, Israel will be saved. There are two main reasons for the tribulation tonight. Number one, it is a punishment of the Gentile nations. The Gentile nations who for years have spurned the call of God to repentance and salvation. God will visit wicked humanity with the fruit of their sin. There will be judgment poured out for their sin. Number two, the time of tribulation is to purge and to judge the people of Israel. The nation of Israel made a covenant with God, but they rejected God's Messiah. They had a part in His death. And God will prepare them for the return, the literal return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And this 7 years is part of that. And when He returns, He will be met by a believing remnant of Jewish people. And people will be saved, especially Jewish people, during the time of the tribulation. You say, Pastor, you're going to hear some things that are frightening. Terrible. What a blessing that if you're saved, you don't ever have to experience these things. But if you're not, you ought to be fearful. You ought to recognize that time is short. What a blessing to know that as a Christian, I'll never experience one moment of these things. That God has spared us from His wrath, that He has promised us hope. There are some, again, that say, well, you know, we're going to go through the tribulation or partway through the tribulation. When you say that, you have a misunderstanding and you begin to conflate Israel and the church. Right. They're two separate entities. And God deals with them separately, not together. The church does not replace Israel. And be careful in your doctrine and theology and your eschatology as you consider these things. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to look tonight at the two parts of the tribulation. We, of course, see the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation, the start of the tribulation. We have the Antichrist coming on the scene. And then we have 3.5 years, the first part of the tribulation, 3.5 years of peace. In Matthew 24, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple." So this is a pretty glorious thing. All right? Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, of course, we know that to be coming later on after Jesus passes, and about 200 A.D., the temple will be destroyed and it will be desecrated and then will remain destroyed even till this day. The temple will be rebuilt. And we'll see that here in a little bit. In verse 3, it says, "And He sat upon the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? Okay, Lord, well, You said the temple's going to be destroyed. When's that going to happen? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." We have here a message to the nation of Israel. But there are lessons I think that we can learn from, even though they're not written directly to the church. The first part or the first half of the tribulation will be generally a time of peace, world peace. There will be judgment. We'll see that here in a moment. Number one, it'll be a time of spiritual deception. In chapter 5, verses chapter 24, verse 5, verse 11, the Bible says here, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying what? I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Look at verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." There will be, during this time, many false Christs, many antichrists, many that will come and say, "We are the Christ. We are the one promised of God." None will have the power or the fame that the antichrist and the false prophet will have. They will literally deceive the world into thinking that they are gods and will demand and receive the worship of men. Now, the tribulation will be a very spiritual time, but it will be marked by spiritual deception. Now, one thing that the Antichrist will do is that he will deceive the world, and they will be so easily deceived because he will usher in a time of great peace. Think about it. If someone came in today and brought peace to all the known world, to the Middle East, so that there were no wars, how powerful would that be? People would be like, wow. Something was accomplished that men for ages have tried to accomplish. But you actually did it. And we see that. False teachers, false prophets. And I think what you'll see, and you're seeing it. Now, I laugh. Sometimes I'll find these guys on YouTube and Facebook, and boy, they're goofy, you know. But there are people out there that believe it. And he's telling that Israel, he's warning them, there will be many false teachers. But number two, there will be a time of great social instability. In verses 6 through 13, it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now again, this is a message for Israel. People say, "Well, Pastor, isn't he talking to me as a Christian?" No, he's talking to these disciples in the sense that they are Israelites, they are Jews. And the book of Matthew, if you look at the Gospels, was written to the audience, and the audience was the Jews. So it's important to understand context. So he's saying that there's going to be, in verse 10, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." There will be great disruption. This time will be a time, first of all, filled with great hostilities and warfare. In fact, the false peace that the Antichrist brings will not last. There will be a great world war, and we see that in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, the rider on the red horse being war. There will be an increase of persecution against the Jews, anti-Semitism. And you'll see that in verse number 9, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And we see that. We see that marked increase. It's only going to get worse and worse today. The world is poised for war. But when the actual tribulation comes, it will be like none other time. It'll go beyond what we see today. And what a terrible time it'll be. Number two, it'll be a time of great desperation. In verse 7 it says, "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." There will be a famine during the tribulation. We go to Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, talks about that. We know that, actually go there if you would. Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. This is just the first 3.5 years. You say, "Oh, this sounds terrible, Pastor." I agree. Wait till you get to the last 3.5 years. It's even worse. In Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, "And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The black horse speaks of death. This idea of balance is a rationing of food. A penny was a day's wage. Essentially, what would happen is an eighth of what it would cost, eight times more of what it normally costs. What's interesting, if you notice there, he says, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It appears that those who are wealthy will not be affected. But the common man, the poor man, will be harmed. And we see that. We see an age. And you say, Pastor, you know, I'm not in any way a socialist, and I'm thankful, I'm grateful that God's given some people the ability to do so well for themselves. But there's going to come a time, and you see that disparity growing, don't you? Right? And I'm not here, it's not about class warfare, but even in the end times, it'll be marked. Right? And the Antichrist will come and be promising to bridge that. Be careful. He goes on, it's interesting, even today, we are living in one of the most prosperous days ever. But many places in our world face great food shortages. Did you know that? Do you realize that one person dies from starvation or a related cause literally every second of the day? Now, we don't see it, right? Because we have grocery stores full of food. We throw away more food than some countries get. Do you realize that because of starvation, 86,000 people die a day, 2.5 million people die a month, 31 million people die every year. 75% of those who die from starvation or its causes are infants and children under the age of 5. And during the tribulation, this is just going to get worse. It's going to just get worse. Number two, or next, it's a time not only marked by famine, but by what? Pestilences or diseases. There will be a time where disease will run rampant throughout the book or throughout the earth. And go to Revelation if you haven't turned away from there. But verse 8 of chapter 6, it says, I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. You realize that this is telling us that 25% of the earth's population will die at some point during this tribulation. There are nearly 7 billion people on the earth. What's a quarter of that? Anybody know? 1.75 billion. With a B. You can't even grasp how many people that is, right? That's the United States of America times almost 6. Dead. People say, well, Pastor, you know, it's not a time of God's wrath. That sounds like wrath to me. That sounds like terrible, terrible things to me. 25% will die. A disease. And if you look there, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. During this time of great pestilence, 1 out of every 4 people will die. This will be a time marked with disaster. In verse 7 of our text, it says, and earthquakes in divers places, natural disasters. And it's interesting. If I don't have time, we studied this before. Go look at the number of earthquakes and natural disasters that have happened. Now, the alarmists will say, well, it's climate change. No, I think the earth is just getting tired. And it's preparing for a great time of tribulation. And I believe he will return. And he will return soon. And what a day that will be. Be ready. Let's go on. It'll be a time marked by disobedience. Go back to our text. Look at verse 10, and there shall be many be offended and shall betray one another and shall what? Hate one another. In verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What's going to happen in the tribulation? It'll be marked by a total disregard for the sanctity of life, for property, for the rights of others. And you see two things. Number one, it'll be a time marked by betrayal and hatred. Betrayal and hatred. Violent crime will rise. It'll be a terrible time. Now, we live in a world that allows the murder of 55 every year, 55 million, probably even a little more than that now, 55 million unborn children. What does that signal to people? That life, certain lives have no value. I challenge you, you know, people say, oh, you're abortion, Planned Parenthood. You realize that Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, she was all about exterminating the undesirables. She was a Nazi, right? We hate the Nazis, right? You hate the Nazis? Was it terrible what they did? She was that, right? If your child was of limited mind, if they were handicapped physically, she was very much about doing abortions in poor neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods. She was a racist. But they purport themselves to be champions of women's rights. No, they're murderers. They're murderers. They've cheapened the value of human life. And you see that, don't you? We see an increase in euthanasia and mercy killings accepted by the people of the world. Why? Because we've lost the respect for human life. Now, some of this is this idea, this theory of evolution. And when you teach someone that you're no better than a common animal, right? Then you lose, right, the understanding that you were created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God, we've been given something precious that no animal has been given. You are not an animal. All right? I am not a Homo sapien. You say, oh, you're not? What are you? I'm a man. A human man. Now you say, well, I'm not going to be classified like an animal. That's my point. I'm not an animal. You're not an animal. Why? Because you have a soul. I've got three dogs. They don't have souls. I hate to break it to you. All dogs don't go to heaven. All right? Because they don't have souls. Now I love my dogs sometimes. Not when they dig in my yard. I don't love them then. But they're fun. I enjoy having them around, but they're dogs. They have no soul. You say, but my dog loves me. Your dog doesn't understand love. Your dog likes that you feed him. Stop feeding your dog. See if it loves you. All right? You might find yourself dinner. All right. They're animals. I'm not an animal. God has given me a soul. I was created in His image. You young people, you're not an animal. You are created in the image of God. But this time of tribulation, it's going to be a time of great hatred and anger and murder and crime. There'll be a time of wickedness, a love of sin. When the church is removed in the rapture, when the Christians are removed, the Holy Spirit is taken away, all restraints on society will be removed as well. There's not going to be, and what a blessing, and I hope that you are a restraining force in your neighborhood. Why do you think the wicked people around us, you think there, you do make a difference when you stand for right? Right? What's the saying? All that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. I know I'm missing it up a little bit. Stand for right. Teach your children what is right. But in this time, there will be no one left to pray for society, to pray for their country, to pray for their neighbors. And this slide to hell by following sin with all its power to possess. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, right? Covetous, boasters, blasphemers, right? All those different things. We're seeing that today. Do you realize that 85% of our nation claims to be Christian? Well, that's hard to believe, isn't it? But look how people live. Tell me if that's true. Do you realize that 62% of all Americans believe that the Bible is not totally true? They believe there are mistakes. 75% of all Americans don't believe that there is a real devil. Pornography has a market value of over $25 billion per year. Yeah, that's a Christian nation. Premarital sex has the same activity rate in the church as it does the world. There's a problem. It's not just the world that's doing wicked. It's within the church. Why? Because we've got a bunch of professing Christians. You say, well, Pastor, I heard the divorce rate is dropping. Well, people aren't getting married. They're just living in sin. Of course, there's no reason to be married anymore, right? Don't rejoice in that. There's a reason. It's not getting better. 32% of professing Christians, 64% of non-Christians consume alcohol every month. Problem. And they say, Pastor, that's depressing. Well, the world's just going to get worse. The world's fine with going to hell. They believe and they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They claim to be godly, but they refuse to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to allow God to be the Lord of their lives. They worship at the throne of sports and entertainment and money. But not all the events of the tribulation will be bad. God's going to raise up some men to carry His message to the farthest ends of the globe. There will be two separate sets of preachers. Number one, go to Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. There will be 144,000 witnesses. These are not the Jehovah's false witnesses that come to your door and stand by the bus stop in the morning. These are 144 Jewish men, young men, preachers, that He's going to seal and protect and send to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, verse 4, 7, verse 1, and after these sayings, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor in the sea, nor in any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, and saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that are sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Then it goes through and talks about how from every tribe there were 12,000 young men sealed by God to do His work. There's another set of witnesses, and it'll be the two witnesses that we see in Revelation chapter 11. There'll be two preachers. They'll stand right outside the newly constructed temple at that wailing wall. In Revelation chapter 11, the Bible says, and I will give power, verse 3, unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, boy, listen to these guys. Boy, what a show this will be. If any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. These two witnesses will come. They'll preach outside this third temple, they'll preach the word of God. All attempts to stop them will be stymied. They'll destroy anyone that tries to hurt them. They'll be the kind of street preacher I wish I could be. Amen. No one's going to shut them up. They're going to try. No one's going to be able to until the Lord allows them to be slain. You say, who are they, Pastor? There are two people who never died. Elijah, who is the other one? He walked with God and was not. I believe, I may be wrong, and it's not like if you disagree, I don't think it's like we ought to part ways or anything. But I think it's Enoch and Elijah. The Bible says, appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. I believe that death has to come for these men. I believe God will send them back, and they will be the two witnesses for God. Talk about preachers, man. Amen. Enoch and Elijah. You may disagree, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it down the road. But I believe God will send these men, but God will allow them to be slain. They'll lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. The whole world, it'll be like Christmas when they die. The whole world. The Bible says they will give themselves gifts because they died. Isn't that terrible? But you know what's going to happen? Where'd you come from? Well, that's going to be, what a reaction that's going to be. They'll rise from the dead. They'll rise into heaven. I love it. God, even in this time of great judgment, God is merciful. He's going to send people to warn. He's going to send people to warn. I believe, go to chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. I believe because of this ministry, there will be millions saved during the time of tribulation. You say, well, Pastor, you know, well, that means I can just wait. What if you're one of the, you know, over 50% of the earth will be destroyed. The population of the earth will die in the tribulation. We've already seen 25% already. Most will believe the great lie of the Antichrist. Don't wait till it's too late. So we come now to, well, that's just the first 3.5 years, guys. You say, man, that's a lot, Pastor. Oh, you just wait. Now we have what they term the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist. He will break his peace that he has made with Israel. He'll go into the temple and he will set himself up in the abomination of desolation. He'll go into the temple of the Jews and he will set himself up there for worship. And God says, okay, here we go. Now go back to our text in Matthew 24. Number one, they're treacherous days. The Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel. If you look at verse 15, it says, "And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Daniel prophesied this during that tribulation period. The Antichrist, he'll go into the Holy of Holies in that newly constructed temple. He'll declare himself to be God. He'll demand that the whole world fall before him in worship. You say, well, Pastor, certainly people will just say, that's crazy. The Bible tells us differently. In Revelation 13, verses 1 through 8, the Bible says most of the world will. And that's why most people will gladly receive the mark of the beast. Because he is to them their God. They worship him. The Antichrist will be assassinated. And the world will see him rise from the dead. Now that's going to be pretty amazing. Especially, you know, it used to be 50, 60 years ago, preachers couldn't understand how could the whole world see these things. You can watch any event at any time live. Don't think it's not going to happen soon. When he rises from the dead, the world will fall at his feet. Isn't it ironic? Somebody already rose from the dead. The world wants nothing to do with him. We see, of course, he's going to rise from the dead. He's going to set himself up for worship. And then he will set up that mark of the beast, some sort of system to mark people. Do you realize, you say, well, Pastor, before this prophecy could be fulfilled, somewhere here in the temple is rebuilt. Before the prophecy could be fulfilled, the temple has to be rebuilt. Do you realize they actually have the plans and they're beginning to amass the materials to rebuild the temple? Study it. It's interesting. It's close. It's close. We're getting closer. Now, let's go on. It's a terrifying days. It's a day of great treachery. The Antichrist will break his peace. He will set himself up as God, but it is going to be a time of great persecution. Go to our text in verses 16 through 20. He says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them," as William already read, "woe unto them that are with child, and them that get suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day." It's going to be great persecution, great tribulation against the nation of Israel. It'll be the goal of this madman, this Antichrist, to totally destroy the people of God, the nation of Israel. Satan has for years tried to destroy the nation of Israel because God made them His own. That's the only reason. You know that, right? He hates them. He hates them. I'm going to go quickly. It's a day of great persecution. It's a day of intense pain. Look at verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." I'm going to go quickly. There are judgments. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter 8. We're going to look at these very quickly tonight. You'll hear about these judgments. The first set of judgments are trumpets. Trumpets. There's trumpet judgments and vial judgments. The trumpet judgments are judgments sent by God. I'm going to go quickly. The first trumpet is a judgment of the destruction of our, basically, of plants, of the living plants on this world. In chapter 8, verse number 7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." You say, what's the big deal about that, Pastor? Do you imagine that? Kind of. We talked about a wildfire this morning. It'll be fires like you've never seen before. We say, well, that sounds pretty bad, but you know, I feel like you could probably get away from that. Well, we're not done yet. Go to second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." A third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the life in the sea dies, and a third of all the ships are destroyed. You think that's going to have an impact on the food supply? He's ramping it up. Third trumpet, verses 10 and 11. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." I'm not sure what wormwood is, except that it's some sort of meteor that falls from heaven and poisons and pollutes a third of the fresh water in the world. Many die because of it. Number four, the fourth trumpet is in verse 12. "And the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." The daylight is shortened by a third. Think about how dark it is right now. The heavens, sun's light's diminished by a third. Now before the fifth trumpet, an angel flies through the earth and he pronounces more judgments coming. Now the fifth trumpet, verses chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, I'm going very quickly. The earth is invaded by an army of devils from the pit of hell. They literally are released, these devils. They have the power to torment men for 5 months. They won't kill people, but the pain will be so intense that men will want to die and can't. It'll be terrible. The sixth trumpet, in chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, is another invasion of an army that numbers 200 million. The result of this is that a third of the human population will be destroyed. Now, if you couple that with what we already saw, that at this point, a half of the population of the earth has been killed. Now, I want to stop there. If you were around and you saw all this, what would you be doing? God, I'm done. Stop. Right? Will the earth do that? Now go to chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. This is so sad. The rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. Then there's a seventh trumpet. In chapter 11, verses 15 through 19, the seventh trumpet is sounded, and it announces that Jesus is coming back soon, and it introduces there's seven more judgments. He says, wow, seven more? Let's go. The first vial, chapter 16, verse 2, some sort of cancerous sore is poured upon the earth and affects men. The second vial, in chapter 16, verse 3, the waters, all the waters of the sea are turned to blood, and every creature in the sea dies. The third vial, in chapter 16, 4 through 7, all the fresh waters of the earth are turned to blood. In chapter 16, verses 8 through 9, the fourth vial, the sun's heat is intensified. Men's bodies are burned by the heat of the sun. Yet, do they repent? No. Go if you would, chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. It says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. The power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. They cursed God. Hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They know what's going on. That's what's amazing. They know that God's doing this. But rather, instead of repenting, what do? They curse God. Fifth vial, chapter 16, verse 10, brings darkness and great pain to the inhabitants of the earth. So intense that they gnaw their tongues in their pain, yet they refuse to repent. This is chapter 16, verse 10. Chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, the sixth vial. The Euphrates River is dried up. Now, why is that? God is actually preparing a pathway for the armies of the world to descend upon Israel. He's given them a highway to their own destruction. The seventh vial, in chapter 16, verses 17 through 21, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. And it goes on, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I mean, it flattens the earth. The islands of the sea sink. The mountains of the earth fall flat. The major cities of the earth are destroyed. Hail from heaven. Y'all have been in a hailstorm before? It could be a little intense, can't it? The hail that will fall from heaven, it says here in verse number 21, it'll be hail that weighs 125 pounds apiece. That's terrible. That's the tribulation. That's the time that we see God's wrath. It just keeps ramping up worse and worse and worse. Let me finish with this thought tonight. How does it conclude? Back to our text. Here's the good news. It comes to an end. It concludes in verse 30 and 31 where it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's three things I want to give you. Number one, the triumphant Savior will appear. Jesus will return in great power and glory at the end of the tribulation. He'll destroy the Antichrist and all of his followers immediately. He'll rule the world. He'll set up his throne. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. Number two, sinners will agonize. When the world, in chapter 30, verse B, it says, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Because why? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. This battle of Armageddon, right there. They've gathered together. They're going to fight. They're going to win. But then they look up in the sky and they see who's coming. And they will mourn. Oh, we're in trouble. These armies will be destroyed. The Bible says that in this battle, that blood will run to the horses' bridles. That's how violent and bloody it will be. They had refused to bow. They refused to bow under His grace. They refused to bow under His judgment. They will reap what they sow. They'll be destroyed by the word of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, the false prophet, will be cast alive into the lake of fire. Their followers will be destroyed. Jesus will return. He will not return as a long-haired hippie, Reader's Digest Jesus. He'll not return as the Jesus that they mock in those cartoons. He will return as a lion, not a lamb. Hey, you're on the winning side. Amen? The pastor, people mock me, they make fun of me. Listen, you're on the winning side. We know how the story ends. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Right? Warn people of judgment to come. He will return as the lion. Lastly, the tribulation saints will assemble after Jesus has returned and defeated the armies of His enemies. He'll gather together all of those who believe the preaching of the two witnesses and the 144,000. They will gather together. They will enter alive into the millennium. We'll talk about the millennium. The millennium is an interesting time because you'll have those who are raptured given glorified bodies, and then you will have those who are saved in the tribulation alive without a glorified body living on the earth. And we'll talk about that. That's a very exciting time for me. I like thinking about it. But what a day it'll be. Let me finish with this. Praise God. If you're saved today, you do not have to fear these things. That's why Paul told the Thessalonians. He talked to them about the rapture and he said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Because they read these things. Right? They heard about these things. They read what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and they said, "Man, I don't want to go through that." And Paul was saying, "Don't worry. Let me comfort you. Jesus is going to come back for you. You don't have to experience these great tribulations. It's a time of Jacob's trouble." Are you saved tonight? I hope you are. It'd be a terrible thing to hear the gospel. I believe if you've heard the gospel and you reject the gospel and you enter into that time of tribulation, you will be one who believes the great deception. There will be no more opportunity. My friends, if you're not saved today, you need to be born again. Christian, you say, "Pastor, what should I, you know, a lot of people really get hung up on prophecy. They make that like their only thing. It's good to know, but so that you might prepare yourself for His coming. That you might ready yourself now. That when He comes, He will find you what? Watching and waiting and working. Amen? Not lazing around. But ready. Will He find you ready? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that, Father, as a Christian, don't have to worry about this. But Lord, how heartbreaking it is to hear of the great judgment and that men, when they are facing this judgment, instead of repenting, will reject You and blaspheme You. Lord, may we do our part to warn people now that there is judgment coming. There is a payday someday. What a terrible, terrible time that'll be. I want to pray for anyone here today that is not saved. Maybe they know in their heart, maybe they've put on a good show of being a Christian, but Lord, something's missing and they don't have saving faith. I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would not reject You any longer. As Christians, Lord, may we be preparing and readying ourselves for Your return. May we be warning and witnessing and just loving people, showing them Your love, that they need to be saved. Bless us now, Lord, as we go our separate ways. May we honor You, Lord, as You have so blessed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anything else tonight? All right. Lord bless you. Let's be dismissed.